morning, everybody. I hope you're having a wonderful day. I'm Melissa Nielsen with Waldorf Essentials, and I thought I would talk to you today about a couple of things. One, somebody sent me a message the other day, and it was weird, and she just said, "You must never have bad days." And I was like, "Yeah, I do. I just don't camp out and stay there." So I thought I would talk a little bit about that today. And then I'm also going to talk about the power of the word no and how it is an important thing that you can apply with your family and your children, and how, you know, knowing the proper way to say no and when to say no helps you be a better parent. So let's first talk about my bad days. I have bad days. I have days when I don't wake up as early as I'd like and I'm trying to cram things in before my kids get up. I have days that they get up at 5, and when I do, and so I'm spending an hour trying to get them snuggled back up to sleep, and it sometimes works, and sometimes we go on a walk instead. I have days that like last night, I had a fight with my teenager. You know, we have days like that. We totally have days like that in our house, totally, but the difference is, we don't stay camped out there. We do not stay camped out there. We do not, we get done with it. In order to live the life that we do and to have the family connection that we have, I can't stay camped out there. I can't stay in a place where, you know, where we're sad all the time or we're grouchy all the time. So, while I do have bad days, or I'll wake up on the wrong side of the bed, or Eric and I will have a disagreement about something that's usually like, what, you were mad about that? Or, oh, I didn't mean to say that. That's usually how they go in our house, because neither one of us is malicious to the other. We all do. We definitely do. But again, it's how we respond to it that makes our house and our life flow so peacefully. And when I say peacefully, we live a fairly peaceful life. We have cut out almost all of like anybody that is negative, and even if we can't cut them out, we reduce our time with them, and we've cut out drama in our life, and family that likes to create drama doesn't get our attention. And so that helps right there, because it allows us to sort of live a peaceful life within our four walls. We had struggles when we had, you know, all of our kids at home, but they weren't any different than your struggles. And even then we lived a fairly peaceful life, but it's all because of us. And it comes down to how we act about things and how we've trained ourselves to not flip out and trained ourselves to go, okay, this truck or this train is going off the rails. How do we fix that? How do we save it? And sometimes you have to stop. You know, in our house, sometimes we stop and say a family prayer together. But if that's not where you're at, maybe you can stop and just hold hands together and everybody, you know, come back to center. Because you can feel when the spirit leaves your home. You can feel when there's that contention there. And so I try to catch it before it blows up and out of control. And we've definitely honed that much more in the last 5 years, probably, than we did before. To a point where, you know, I have children that can step up when I have a stroke and help me, you know, and I'm about to come on 3 years in April since my stroke, which I can't believe, it's so crazy that it's been that long. But, you know, my kids stepped up and they helped. And even though they had struggles, their struggles were different. They were not, it wasn't that they couldn't cooperate. It was just, hey, they were really worried about their mom. And so once they were, you know, assured that everything was better, those struggles sort of melted away and they were able to really just work together. And so, you know, if you want to have that, you have to cultivate it. So yes, I have some bad days, but actually they're not really, like, the whole day is really bad. It's moments within a day. So I want to talk quickly about sort of, because there's a lot of people right now having bad days about what's going on in the world. And I get it. I get it. I read the headline and I go, are you kidding me? Like, what? I'll sit back up a bit. I don't actually read the headlines. It's usually Eric tells me, did you know that he did? Or did you know that this is happening? And I'll be like, holy crap. You know, it's falling apart. Because there's a lot in the news right now, and I know there's a lot of people that we work with that are really up in arms, and I do not blame you. Do not blame you one bit. I am right there with you, frustrated about some things and downright angry about some other things, but here's the deal. You can't stay camped out there. You just can't. Because it ruins your days, it ruins situations with your children, and it will ruin your life if you let it. So you have to ask yourself, do I want what's going on in my Facebook feed, what's going on in the world, what's going on in Washington, what's going on in Syria, what's going on in Afghanistan, wherever it is, do I want to let that take my peace for me? Because I don't want to let that take my peace. And then so I stop and I ask myself these questions when there's stuff that comes up. I say, is there anything that I can do about it directly right this moment, other than be angry? Because being angry does nothing. So I stop and I look at it and I think about it. And if it's something that affects people that I know, or has the potential to affect people that I know, people that I'm just going to use the example, friends that might be Muslim that might be really worried about their lives right now, or worried about how they're, how they're going to be able to stay in this country with all of this that's going on. And gosh, they may never have even lived in an Arab country. Is there anything I can do about that? So I step back and I think about my friends that are Muslim, and I ask myself, okay, is there anything that I can do? And if there's nothing that I can do, usually there's something, because I absolutely, absolutely can pray about the situation. And I had somebody, and I know I pray often, and I know that turns some people off, but that's me. So if you're watching me, I'm going to say that. So I had somebody the other day say, but I cannot pray for the president. And I'm like, heck yeah, I'm praying for him. Not because I like him. Not because I like him. I know there's lots of people that follow us that do. And if that's where your peace is, then that's fabulous. I am t all over that. But I'm talking about praying for people that you just don't feel like you can. And I have to, because I have to pray that he has a change of heart about things. And I have to pray that he can change the things that I hope he can, but then also calm down about other things. I have to pray about those things. So that's something tangible that I can do right now when I read something. I can stop what I'm doing, and I can stop and have a silent prayer about that. I can talk to my kids about their friends that might be affected by this. My husband and I have to have conversations about, so we live, like 5 miles from the border, and we go to Mexico for a lot of our health care because it's better and cheaper. And so we have to have conversations about, okay, so what does this mean for our dentist appointment next week? So those are tangible things that we can do, tangible things. I cannot sit and worry. I cannot have it affect me in another way. Because if there's nothing tangible I can do about it, then all I'm doing is sitting in anger, which I personally can't do because, like I said, I had a stroke 3 years ago, and if you don't think it can happen to you, watch, 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 watch. So you ladies, if you're really struggling and you finding yourself angry, you better get yourself a blood pressure cuff or get yourself to the grocery store and take your blood pressure because it's real. So I can't personally stay in that place because I have had to train myself not to. And it doesn't do good to my children if I stay in that place. So if I could tangibly do something about it, then I do. If not, I have to step back from it. You have to step back from it. That's how you don't have bad days. That's how you have bad moments. So yes, I have bad moments. I have bad moments that sometimes go on for a few hours, depending on what's going on. Yes, I have kids that drive me crazy sometimes. Yes, I have kids that disobey. Absolutely, they're kids. They're kids, and they're learning just like I'm learning. Had an interaction with my teenager last night that I was really upset about, and so I let it cool off, and then I went and I talked to her, and I said, I'm really upset about what you said to me, and we could de-escalate it because I walked away and she walked away. I even went for a walk and by myself, and that was golden. I went for a walk and I was able to cool down. And so you have to utilize those skills for stress management in your life. Because if you don't, you're just gonna be a ball of stress all the time. And if you've got younger children that you're mad at, excuse me, if you've got younger children that you're mad at, throw them in the stroller, put them in the sling, and go for a walk. You don't have to listen to them being upset. You can just say, you know what, mommy needs a moment, and walk in silence and get yourself calmed down. If it is incredibly snowy where you are right now, put their snow suits on, send them outside, and stand at the door and watch them and have your moment of peace. So you've got to figure out ways to have peace in your life. That is how you don't have bad days. That's how you have bad moments. I have a 5-year-old that has SPD. And goodness, we had so much fun last week. It was Ellie's birthday. Lots of people were here. We live in a teeny 820 square foot condo. Teeny. And we have a garage space that we've converted into office and living room. So makes it a little bit bigger. But we had 4 extra people here. And it was lovely. We loved it. We had so much fun. So much when we had grandparents, we had my mother-in-law was here, and my dear partner in crime, Kelly, she was here, and her daughters. It was so much fun. But Soraya has SPD. So we were able to, she had like one tantrum when they were here. But afterwards, like since then, since everybody left last Monday, she's really struggled. So yes, I have struggles with kids with special needs, totally. And that means I have to be on my game even more. So I cannot let what that man in Washington is saying get me down. I just can't, because if I do and I get unbalanced, then she is way off, way off. And I notice it. So you got to become really good at observing, especially if you've got a kid with special needs, become really good at observing. I watch her. I was taking a walk with her and some friends on Saturday morning. And she had woken up early, which she normally doesn't do. She normally sleeps until about 7:30, and she had woken up early, and she was already on her tiptoes like an hour after she got up. So if you've got a kid with sensory stuff, and they're on their tiptoes, it's because there's something sensory going on. It's because they're not feeling grounded. And so I'm walking with friends, and our friend happens to be the kid's karate instructor, and so we were walking that morning with him, he looked at her and he said, "Why is she doing that?" And in her class, she has a class that morning. And I said, "Well, Jerry, she's having one of those mornings. I'm going to take her home and oil her down before I bring her back to you, because then you won't be upset at me." And so he sort of laughed a little bit, but that's what we do. So when we have, the ways to have bad moments instead of bad days is knowing what you're going to do, how you're going to respond when those things happen. So for her, I use balance on her when I can see that she's about to have struggles through the day. So balance is a doTERRA blend that I really like. So I bring her home, make sure she gets her vitamins. And if you've got special needs kids and they're not on supplements, you need to get them on supplements. You need to get them on, at the very minimum, a good probiotic, a good omega-3, and a good kid's vitamin. They need to have those nutrients in there. And from my experience, they seem to be nutrient deficient more than our neurotypical kids. So it must show up somehow in, I don't know, somehow. When she's having a time like that, I make sure that her supplements are in her. And then I rub her down. And I, so these are some techniques that I use for oils. I don't just do the feet. I will do the feet. I'll either start with the feet or end with the feet. But I also have her like lay like she's gonna hug me if she's sitting up on the counter. And I pull up her back, the back of her shirt. And I drop from the bottle, because there's something about doing it this way. I let it freely flow from the bottle, like 5 drops along her spine. You want it to go right into the blood system, so along her spine. And then I rub in circular motions along her spine as it soaks in. And then I pull her shirt back down, and then I'll do her feet and make sure she's got socks or slippers on after that. So if you're using oils or trying to figure out how to make them best work for you, the spine is like it's a magic bullet. At least, it hasn't for us and everybody that I know that does it that way. So if you are really interested in some more like protocols for that, there's a good site called the Symphony of the Cells that Boyd Truman talks a lot about, using things on the spine like that and how they have a more immediate response. So we do that for her. And that helps us get ton. Again, it helps us have bad moments, not bad days. And we have had everything seems like it's falling apart kind of days. But then you have to step back and you have to go, wait a minute, everything's not falling apart. Yeah, my car had a flat. Yeah, I'm overdrawn at the bank. Yeah, I've got kids that are fighting. You just separate those things out. So those are coincidences that they're happening. It's also quite possible that you stubbed your toe in the morning and then you're just attracting all kinds of bad experiences to you, because that totally happens. And I'm a huge believer in the power of attraction. So if you decide it's going to be a bad day, guess what? It's going to be a bad day. So decide it's going to be a great day. And at least hopefully you'll end up with a good day. And that's sort of how we live life here. So that's how we don't have like bad days. We just have bad moments and we deal with those moments and then we move on. And, you know, again, you've got to be ready to get up before your kids. You've got to be ready to be on the same page with your partner. Those are all things that help us not have bad days. You have to be in good communication with your children. You have to own your household. You have to, you know, sort of make sure that chores are thought of. All of those things, all of those elements go into it. It doesn't just happen on accident. You know, we have the family that we have and the centeredness that we have because we cultivate it, because we work at it, because we decide we're going to fly on this high flying disc today and we're going to stay there. So anything you're going to tell me that's going to bring me down, I'm going to deal with it. And then I'm getting right back up there because that's where I want to be. That's where we're happy. That's where we feel good. And that's not just me, you know. So my husband he's been working with, he's had a back injury that he got when we moved. And so that was in September. And so it's healing. You know, regular mainstream medicine probably would have had him with surgery by now, but we don't go that route. So he's felt spiritually like he can heal this on his own. So he's been working at it. And some days are really hard for him and he's in a lot of pain. But we also are working with oils and supplements that help him not succumb to the pain up here. And I think that's super important. So if you're living with chronic pain, we get you. I understand. You know, I have pain remnants, things that are like left over from my stroke that I deal with every day. And it's not fun. There are days that I am barely hobbling and days that I can run and jump and act like a 10-year-old. And so I understand having days like that. But again, I can't camp out in the bad days. I have to decide that I want more for my kids, for my family, because I do. I want happiness for them. So it really comes down to sort of what your core beliefs and values are. And so if you're having a lot of bad days, you have to step back and evaluate and sort of figure some things out. And, you know, if you're not somebody that's working with us already, I do coaching personally, and we have a lot of programs that are there for helping. So think about those things. So now I'm going to transition into the power of the word no. And so let's back up. And I've been an attached parent for 20 years. My son turned 20 last week. 20. Cannot believe it. 20. So I have been an attached parent for 20 years. And so I understand what it's like to co-sleep and a cloth diaper, and to attend to their needs, and to all of those things. I get it. I have been, you know, like a follower of API for a long time. Nowhere in there does it say you can't say no. And so I'm also like a pretty brass tacks and I hold firm boundaries mom. And you can do that and be an attached parent. You can be a loving, positive parent and be an attached parent. So some things that I just want to get out of the way at the beginning. When you have kids with special needs, you have to parent them a little bit different. So positive parenting looks a little bit different with them than it does with other kids. Kids with special needs, especially on the autism spectrum, generally need some rewards that other kids usually don't need. They usually don't. They just go, of course I'll do that for you, mom. In general. So depending on their temperament and what's going on at home, of course, and how you've cultivated that. But, you know, kids on the spectrum often need like some sort of incentive. And so some people would say, oh, that's not positive parenting and that's coercion. And so what I say to that is it's not coercion when you have good intent and when you're talking about a child that is on the spectrum and that you're really trying to work with them. So you're using tools that you have, and it's all about where you're coming from, where your heart is, And that's sort of what determines the bigger picture. So, the power of no, it is okay. In fact, it is necessary for you to realize that you have stewardship over these children, and there are times that you have to say no. And it's okay to say no. And there are times that you've probably said yes and you should have said no. So you have to really step back and get control of the no word. And it's perfectly okay. God says no. The divine says no all the time. There are times that we want to do things like I'd love to just go and play today. And God's like, no, you got some stuff to do. And for those of you that don't have a higher power, nature says no. I mean, that you see no in nature all the time. And so it's not a matter of, oh, we're raising these people and we can't say no. There is sort of this weird school of thought about that's very permissive about just sort of letting them do whatever they want and that they'll just eventually learn. And that's really not divine design. Divine design is we have stewardship over them. And so, excuse me. So with that, we have to know when it is appropriate to say no and when it is appropriate to say, yes, of course we can do that. And sort of when we have to step back and, rein things in a little bit. So that's going to come from you really learning how to be a centered parent. So it starts with you being centered. Oftentimes, when I look back at times when I should have said no, it was because I was run down and exhausted and not as centered as I wanted to be. And I said yes, even though I knew I should have said no. And that might be as simple as like the television. It might be as simple as, a child that wants to go play with a friend and you know that that's not the best place for them to go. Or, there's so many things every day that I think we make compromises on that we wish we hadn't made compromises on. So, if you have children that sort of understand the household values, then it's easier to say no. It's easier to say, that doesn't really fit with the values of our house. It doesn't fit with our priorities. And as they get older, then you can say things like, what do you think about that? What do you, and I'm talking about like older teens. How do you think that that fits with sort of what we would do at home and what we've developed as family priorities and let them sit with that. I have to tell you, I've been like super proud of Eleanor. I know I say that a lot, but man, she does some things sometimes. So like we've for the last 13 years of my life and my entire marriage, we don't shop on Sunday. And we don't generally party on Sunday. There's occasions. We don't work on Sunday if possible. And if you see me working, it's usually like after 4. So those are just things that are important to us as a household to take a day of rest. And it feels really good and re-energizing when you're taking that time to then prepare for the next week. So she has this job at the dojo, and they do birthday parties. And there's a birthday party for a child that she really likes, that she is a joy in her class, and it was yesterday. And so she came to me 2 weeks ago and she said, "There's this birthday party and I'm really kind of bummed about it." And I said, "Well, I think you're getting old enough. She's 16." I said, "You make that decision on your own. I'm not going to make that decision for you." But because we've had a lifetime of laying boundaries and setting it out, I'm able to give her that power at her age and I'm able to say, "You make the choice." She made the choice. And I had totally actually forgotten about it after I said something to her, because like I said, it was like 2 weeks ago and I've had a million things happen in my life since then. And so on Saturday, she says, as we part from Jerry from our walk, she says, "I'll see you on Monday." And excuse me. And she said, "Good luck at the party." And then it dawned on me, oh, she made a choice. But again, I would have, if she had made the choice that she needed to go, I would have said, that's between you and God. It's not between you and me. I've told you what I suggest and what are reminded you of our values, but that's your choice. And so she made the choice that fell in line with our values. More often than not, when you raise them right, they're going to do that. They're going to test boundaries. They're going to do crazy things on their own. They're going to do things that don't please you sometimes and make you frustrated. But more often than not, when you make your values of your home a parent, then it's easier to parent, and so that means if you're not sure what your values at home are, that means it's time to really decide them, and it's time to really talk to your partner about those things, and really sort of come from a place of deciding what it is that you want. When you do those things, it is easier to say no and easier to say yes. Excuse me. It is easier for you to be able to justify, not that I spend time justifying to my children, but sometimes I do in my head. I go, why am I saying no? Oh yeah, that's why I'm saying no. Because there are times when I have to evaluate myself. There are times when I have to say, I can't answer you right now. And I go and talk to their dad and we have a conversation and then I come back and I might have to say no, or dad might have to say no, so it's about really understanding and really living into your stewardship of your children, thinking about what's important to your family, and then being able to go from there. Now there are times when I have to say no, like on the fly. Of course, that happens all the time. No, I'm sorry, we can't go to the park today. No, I'm sorry, we can't have that treat today. It's okay for you to say no, and it's okay for you to say no and not feel like you have to justify to your child. Excuse me, I had a mom the other day that she was asking me about some struggles that she was having because she has a child that is, and I don't think she has special needs. No, she wasn't special needs. She just was a needy child. She's not on the spectrum, just had become a needy child. So the mom's explaining to me that she doesn't want to say no because it will be a tantrum, a long drawn out tantrum. And I said to her, why are you allowing your child to control you? Because fear of the tantrum and saying yes because it for something you don't want, because you don't want to see a tantrum, is allowing your child to control you. So don't be in that place with your child. Do not set up that duality with your children. Oh, excuse me. Do not set up that duality with your children where you've got this power struggle. They will absolutely pick up on it. And children are opportunists, even good children, because they're children. They're learning. They're not in a place, they don't have the intellect yet. They don't have that cognitive ability to realize that they're manipulating you. They just know if I have a fit, she's not going to make me do it. If I have a fit, I don't have to clean the bathroom. If I have a fit, then I don't have to do the dishes. If I have a fit, she's not going to make me do my schoolwork. That's what they see. So you're programming them that it's okay to have this fit. So I'm telling you got to stop. If you want peace in your home, you have to rein that in and you've got to hold it. Excuse me, I don't know what's going on this morning. I need some tea. Anyway, so I hope this has been helpful. I hope that you have, if you have a problem saying no, that you're stepping back and evaluating that. I'm realizing that I have bad days too, but I don't stay camped out there. And I hope that if you have any questions, excuse me, I'm gonna go get some tea, or comments, that you will leave them in the chat box below, and I will respond to them. I hope you have a wonderful week. Bye now.